czalego bucie jest. Dziura, dziura, błoto z wodą wcieka fest, załatać nie ma czem. Zdałaby się jedna rzecz, skóra, skóra, a gdy kieszeń pusta jest, trza się pogodzić z tem. Hej, troski precz, humor dobra rzecz, take it easy, nie daj się, więc się nie przejmuj złem. Hej, troski precz, humor dobra rzecz, take it easy, nie daj się, więc się nie przejmuj złem. Była se dziura, dziura, wpadła Zosia w dziurę tę, a wyleć nie da się. Stasiek musiał kawał wziąć w sznura, sznura i wyciągnął Zosię z niej i z nią żenił się. Hej, dziura, hej, trudno wyleć z niej, patrz na każdy własny krok, gdy dziura uskoć bok. Hej, dziura, hej, trudno wyleć z niej, patrz na każdy własny krok, gdy dziura uskoć bok. Dzisiaj ma hura, hura, z całych sił na będzio gra, ludzie nie mogą spać. Ale nagle będzio jest dziura, dziura, ktoś kamienie trafił w nie, lecz on nie przestał grać. Hej, strachy precz, humor dobra rzecz, take it easy, nie daj się, no z długa wyśpisz się. Hej, strachy precz, humor dobra rzecz, take it easy, nie daj się, no z długa wyśpisz się.
Well, you probably recognize the tune, but not sure you recognize the language unless you happen to be Polish and know what they were talking about. That's the language they were singing in, a group called the Polish Mountaineers. And this, believe it or not, comes off of volume one of a wonderful series of CDs called Folk Songs of Illinois, which is pretty wide-ranging, and I suppose it sort of... How you define a folk song determines how it is that some of these songs got on here. But in any event, I wish I had on this recording, and I'm surprised it doesn't say when it was recorded, but it was recorded in Chicago. Actually, it even says date and musicians unknown. But I actually used that here on Live and Local on FM 90.9 by way of maybe slightly twisted introduction to our guest for today, or rather our topic for today, which is the early music of Illinois, and a show that is going to be at, I seem to have come in here without my press release. I'm not sure how I managed to do that with only part of my information, that Peter Ellertson is going to be giving this weekend in at the Rock Springs Nature Center, I think it's called, Decatur. Conservation Center in Decatur. And Pete is a, well, as it says in the publicity material, a freelance writer, amateur musician, retired professor of English, actually, and also former journalist and somebody very interested in music history generally, and particularly, I gather, the history of music in Illinois. Thanks for coming on the show.
it's great to be here. And I love the intro. I know that song. I guess it's Camptown Races.
Camptown Races.
It's the Stephen Foster song.
Yeah.
I also know it as a Norwegian-American novelty song called the Lefse song. And lefse is a kind of potato pancake. And I don't know the song to sing it, but the chorus is something, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, ufta, ufta. And ufta is a Norwegian phrase that means, it means what it sounds like, ufta. I can't really sort of say like, on the air what we would translate it into English.
Well, actually, I should have given it. I actually do have the translation of what they were singing. Let's see. It's line by line here. It's all mixed up. Take it easy. Oh, no, it's all mixed up, English and Polish. Mm. Never mind.
We're it would be. I think the thing that's really interesting about, the thing I love about that is that the music gets over walls. Music goes from one ethnic group to another. We build walls between ourselves. And the music has a way of floating over those walls. Actually, my presentation over at Decatur is going to be about a lot earlier type of music that we did in Illinois. But it also was music that got over the walls that we erected between different groups of people.
Well, that's essentially why I thought I'd introduce with that kind of music from a particular people who is, Chicago is what, the second largest Polish population in the world.
Yes, yes.
And right. I noted that in the I do now have the press release, thanks to Jason for bringing it in, part of your topic is that a lot of the music that was early in Illinois, and we'll define early in a minute, came by way of many different types of people from around the world on the rivers and the roads and so on. Early music, this is mostly a classical music station, except for my show and the news and a Prairie Home Companion, I guess. So early music in classical terms means usually people before the time of Bach.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about that here. Are we?
No. Oh, well, we're talking about people after the time of Bach. There are some of the things that happened musically predate Bach, and they predate, what do you call it, common era. They predate the way, what we think of is the way that music is put together, at least in classical terms. The old modes occur in some of the songs. This was oral music, but it's folk music. It's not intended to be as artistic as, say, a Bach or a Schubert or somebody like that.
So it's, in our case, in this context, essentially music before the Civil War.
This will be, big disclaimer here, because we don't have very good sources for what it was like before the Civil War. A lot of this music comes out of oral tradition, and a lot of the music that we got from oral tradition, we get it from people who went out collecting it in the late 1800s and early 1900s. It was the same time as people like Ralph Vaughan Williams were collecting English folk songs. You had people here in the United States going up on the creeks and hollows down in Appalachia and collecting folk songs.
People like Alan Lomax?
Alan Lomax, Cecil Sharp.
That's a name I don't know.
Okay, he was of the English Folk Song Society, and he came over here in 1915, and he was contacted by a woman who did social work in the mountains of North Carolina. And she came to him and said that, I have been talking to people here that they're singing old ballads, and they're singing the old ballads on very funny modes and scales. And it sounds really archaic. And she was an amateur, but she had taken down in notation some of these songs she'd collected in North Carolina. Cecil Sharp, the Englishman, looks at them and oh, that's in Dorian, or that's Mixolydian, you know. So,
which are names of, we used to call them church modes.
They're the old church modes.
From medieval music, or I guess really post-medieval music, Renaissance music.
Renaissance a lot. That Appalachian dulcimer players for a long time, for a while there,
use
had tunings and were influenced by the church modes.
I should say that Pete, as he was referring to Appalachian dulcimer players, was actually gesturing towards his dulcimer, which he happens to have with him. What we haven't said so far, because I didn't have the release in front of me, is when exactly this event's going to be happening, which is Sunday at 2 o'clock at Rock Springs Conservation Area Indicator. It's actually free admission, specifically in the Rock Springs Nature Center. And you told me you're using, as a kind of a working title for the talk, Roads, Rivers, and Creole Girls. We suggested why the roads and rivers, because that's how people got here. But what's the Creole Girls part?
Actually, the Creole Girls was, I think that was in my working title, and that's going to drop out because it was a little too cute. But the music is, to use a very technical term, it's a creolized type of music. Creolization is what happens when various European musical traditions, actually I should say old world, African and European traditions, come over here, you know, with the early settlers, with the first settlers, and with the slaves, of course, and they're reinvented when they get to the New World. The term originally, or in musical studies, at least I've seen it first used a lot in New Orleans. You know, jazz is a kind of a Creole form. And if you think about it, the early jazz came out of that Creole culture.
Well, when one says Creole, at least in my thinking, that's usually what we in the United States think of, is a particular type of people. Mm-hmm. In Louisiana. But it's really a blending of cultures, a mixing of cultures.
Yes, it's any blended culture. I never knew this until my wife started going up to Alaska, doing consulting work in Alaska. But Alaska had a Creole culture from, Russians and people, especially the Yupik and some of the Alaska Native peoples, you know, created this blending of old and New World cultures.
So how does this fit in to early music of Illinois, maybe specifically? And do you want to illustrate with something musically?
Yes,
as long as you brought a couple of instruments along.
Yes, let's send. And what I am doing in Decatur is going to be a concert. I'm going to talk less and play more. But, yeah. And maybe the best way to illustrate this or to get into it is to just sing a piece. And this, if I do it right, you can hear what a creolized music sounds like. I'm going to start with, it's a ballad, an old Scots ballad called Bonnie George Campbell. And I'm just going to give myself a keynote, and I'm going to sing it a cappella. That's the way they sang the ballads. High upon highland and low upon tay, Bonnie George Campbell rode out on one day. All saddled and bridled and gallant rode he. And home came his good horse, but never came he. Out came his mother dear, crying full sore. And out came his bonnie bride, tearing her hair. My meadow lies green, and my corn is unshorn. My barn is to build and my baby's unborn. All saddled, all bridled, and booted rode he, but home came the saddle and never came he. Home came the saddle all bloody to see, and home came the good horse, but never came he.
Sounds like a bit of a tragedy in that ballad. And there's I like the sound of loss that was actually in your voice. You know, I think conveyed that, one of the wonderful things about unaccompanied singing.
That's one of the wonderful things about the ballad tradition, that many of the ballads will have 14 or 15 verses, and they will go on and on and on. And that's very nice. But some of the ballads are just worn down to where you've got the hard kernel, the nub of the story. And here, I mean, this sense of loss, home came the saddle. Even musically, it doesn't... To resolve that thing musically, the last bit should go... I'm going to have to play it through. That's once, but you'll notice it does not end on the keynote. It ends a couple of notes above, and it's just sort of lingering, hanging there. To resolve musically, it wants to go down
to there, and it doesn't.
To the D. This is tuned in D.
So how does that represent, how is that a creolized piece?
Okay, this is not creolized yet. It's getting creolized when I pick up the dulcimer and play it, because when I play, I'm syncopating it a little bit, and I've been getting ready for this presentation. I've been trying to play these things, a couple of these things, without the syncopation, without this kind of... without that kind of stroke. It's subtle, and it's pervasive in the fiddle music. A guy named Alan Jabour from the Library of Congress, that studied a lot of the old fiddle tunes, believes that this is an African-American element that works into the Scottish and Irish, into the Anglo-Celtic, you know, this oral tradition.
The syncopation part of it.
The syncopation. Mm-hmm. So to that extent, it's already creolized. Now, there's another song, and I chose Bonnie George Campbell to sing. It's a lovely ballad, but that's not why I chose it. I chose it because there's another tune known as Cumberland Gap that's basically the same tune. Basically this. And so on. The lyrics are, me and my gal and my gal's pap, we all went down to Cumberland Gap, Cumberland Gap, Cumberland Gap. And this, to me, this is what I'm talking about when I use a word like creolized.
And of course, as you said early on, there are so many tunes that have simply, some cases, they've come over wholesale. And we've had a lot of Irish musicians in here, other types of Celtic musicians who've come in, and And then we've had old-time musicians, you know, American old-time musicians, and that one will play one tune and one will play another tune. It's the same tune, get with a different name,
somewhat
like what you're just talking about. Is that kind of the same process?
I don't want to claim too much for the creolizing. It's an element of what happens when when British or Anglo-Celtic or however you want to refer to it, when that traditional music comes over to these shores, and especially in southern Appalachia. That's part of what happens. For every tune that comes over intact, there are more that are kind of put together they're in the same musical idiom. The wonderful example of that is Amazing Grace. You know, Amazing Grace sounds very Scottish. In fact, it's gone back to Scotland. You know, and it's known there as one of their pipe tunes. No, bagpipe, war pipe tune, but they haven't been able to find the Scottish antecedent. As far as we can tell, the tune of Amazing Grace first shows up around in Kentucky during the camp meetings in the very early 1800s. And it's played a little bit different. Well, it comes out of the same Appalachian, southern Appalachian. I'm going to misuse another academic term. I think of it as a cultural hearth. I think of Virginia, the east slope of the Appalachians, as being an area where a lot of musical materials were kind of mixed together, and they created something that was very, very influential in American, especially American popular music. You get the camp meeting songs. You get the, to some degree, the African-American spirituals. You get the old shape note tunes. And you get the fiddle tunes and the ballads, all kind of mixing together in Virginia and following or dispersing as people go down through Cumberland Gap and then up to Kentucky, up to Illinois, out to Texas, you know, and certainly through the southern portion, southern and middle portions of the United States. And I think I've talked myself out onto a tangent there.
Well, I was going to say, this came from Amazing Grace.
Oh, yeah, Amazing Grace is Scottish, or it's, I think Anglo-Celtic would be the word for it. And this is, on the dulcimer, what the earliest printed version of Amazing Grace sounded like, as played on a dulcimer. Sounds very, to me, very different. And to me, the modern versions, the very sweetened up versions, sound kind of treacly.
So the, well, yeah, I could
which is, of course, a matter of taste.
Pardon? Yeah, I could imagine why one might say that. So is this the form of that tune, for example, that probably would have been heard in Illinois before the Civil War?
Yes.
Particularly southern Illinois? Or...
Particularly the parts of Illinois that were wooded. You know, the parts of Illinois that were settled by people coming up from Kentucky, Tennessee, Indiana, southern Indiana.
People used to living in the mountains.
people
in one way or another.
Right.
You're listening to Live and Local. I'm talking to Peter Ellertson, who is going to be giving a presentation called, variously, The Early Music of Central Illinois, or Roads, Rivers, and... We're not going to talk about Creole Girls, but that was a working title. It's going to happen on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Rock Springs Nature Center, which is located on the grounds of the Rock Springs Conservation Area in Decatur. And it's a free program. And our show today on Live and Local is made possible with support from 10,000 Villages in downtown Champaign. For over 25 years, 10,000 Villages has provided income to artisans in more than 30 developing countries by marketing their handicrafts and telling their stories in North America. In also in a note you had sent me, Pete, ahead of time, you said that popular music in the 1800s, particularly in Illinois, heavily influenced by the media of the day, referring, you said, to things like minstrel shows, and you said specifically British music halls. I guess I don't know what went on in British music halls that's different from, I assume, American minstrel shows. Not having been around at the time or studied either.
Sometimes I feel like I was around, but I think the minstrel shows were part of a larger scene that included the British music hall. They were variety shows. They were, as I understand them, they were a lot like what evolved into vaudeville in this country. Just sort of they'd sing a few songs and they would give skits. You wouldn't really call them plays. There were a lot of the songs that get into... Actually, a lot of Irish songs come out of the music halls. And that's more what I had reference to.
And then how do they... So what are some examples of what shows up in Illinois from those sources?
Okay, very late. There's a guy named John Armstrong, whose father was the Jack Armstrong who was in the wrestling match with Abraham Lincoln that you may remember when Lincoln first went to New Salem. John Armstrong was from a family of people in Menard County, Illinois, who lived in Oakford, which is between Petersburg and Havana, sort of northwest of Springfield. And he entertained Edgar Lee Masters, who was the poet who did the Spoon River Anthology in 1914. Masters went out there spent an evening out there, wrote it up in a book called The Sangamon, which is just a lovely book of reminiscences. And a couple of the songs that John Armstrong sang were Irish, and they had been floating around when I went and looked these things up. They'd been floating around in the music halls and also in American stage shows, because you have the minstrel shows, which do the blackface kinds of things. But you also have a lot of other touring theater companies in the latter 1800s in particular that are putting any kind of variety show, any kind of music together. You know, whatever is popular, whatever is selling tickets in New York, they will send people out on the road and play these things. So that's kind of a roundabout... Kind of a roundabout answer to your question. I'm guessing, to really sum it up, popular music in the 1800s is the music of the stage. And that's whether it's minstrel shows or the music halls, any of these kinds of things. One of the songs that John Armstrong sings is called The Old Lady. It's variously called The Old Lady from Ireland, The Old Lady from Wexford. For some reason, it's called Tipping It Up to Nancy. And it's one that John Armstrong got out and, well, he sang for Masters that time. And it goes something like this. There was an old woman in our town who in our town did dwell. She loved her husband dearly, but another man twice as well. She went to see the doctor to see if she could find anything in the whole wide world to make her old man blind. Oh, give him eggs and marrow bones and make him eat them all. And when he's finished, he'll be so blind he won't see you at all. But the old man, he was a crafty fella, he'd seen it all before. And when he ate him, he said, my dear, I can't see you at all. It's a lovely story. I'll take myself to the river bank, and there myself I'll drown. The old girl says, I'll come with you to see that you don't fall down. So there they went all hand in hand till they come to the river's brim. The old girl turned and went behind and ran to push him in. The old man, he was a crafty fella, he swiftly stepped aside. The old lass tripped and fell right in, was swallowed by the tide. Oh, she bawled out and she squalled out, oh, don't leave me behind. Shut up, said he, that cannot be, you know that I am blind.
You know, I knew exactly where that song was going because, like so many of these songs, which I've been hearing a whole lot of examples, it seems like, in the last few years, and I'm not very good at coming up with names, is the same story that I heard in a song sung by a folk singer named Sally Rogers.
Oh, okay.
And I'm trying to remember the name of the song because I might think of it if I went out the room and you didn't play any other music.
Yeah.
Because it's a slightly different tune, but without the woman being, without the man being blind, the woman ties him up.
And
about a Betsy Haig. Anyway, I can't remember the whole thing, but the same thing happens. You know, he steps aside, she falls in, and she says, "Save me, Bobby Sands." I think
Bobby Sands is one of the variants of this song. Yeah,
and she says, "I would, my dear, for much, but I wish, but you have tied my hands." It's the same deal.
Okay. In addition to the guy up in Oakford, to John Armstrong, there's another variant of this called The Old Woman of Slab City. And Slab City, I am told, is another name for Granite City over in Metro East. So.
And probably she does something different to her man, but the same with the same
pretty
result.
Pretty much the same
like
thing.
What happened?
She steps aside. I think the eggs and marrow bones are not there, but this whole thing where he steps aside and she falls in.
So just be careful what kind of argument you have with your woman or your man and how it might come out. Somebody might do the other. Turn things up on their head.
If you're around the road, the rivers part of the roads and rivers, well, we do have a river here.
Well, what speaking of roads and rivers, and again, I'll remind listeners that I'm talking with Pete Ellertson, who is of Springfield, Illinois, living in Springfield, and he's giving a talk about the early music of Central Illinois, Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock in Decatur, free program, and referring particularly, specifically to different walks of people coming to Illinois on the roads and the riverways. And do we find that the music that comes on the roads is different from music that comes on the rivers?
Mm. No.
It's just how they got here and the music's the same.
Yeah, that. I'm going to be very... I'll be frank about it. I liked roads and rivers because it alliterates. I was an English teacher.
Well, no, I just wonder because, you know, different types of people might, you know, be seafaring and therefore boat faring and therefore riverboat riding. I don't really know.
Oh, there is one. The minstrel shows evolved on the rivers. Stephen Foster, you know, kind of, he was in Cincinnati, he was in Pittsburgh. You know, he started out along the Ohio River. And these old minstrel show songs, they do come up here on the rivers.
Is this related to the showboat that's, you know, that was the topic of that particular musical theater piece?
Mm.
Is that what came out of the minstrel shows on
there? The showboat is kind of I'm not too familiar with it, but it's kind of a later thing. I'm thinking the first people that did the blackface minstrel shows. Oh, people like Daddy Rice, people like Dan Emmett played music halls and little theaters out west before it got to New York. And the blackface minstrelsy has a very, very strong connection to the Ohio River. There's songs like, your classical listeners will know this one from, I believe, Aaron Copland wrote a cover to a song called Boatman, The Boatman's Dance,
mm-hmm.
which...
From his sets of, you call them the old American songs, also
right.
Simple Gifts, a long time ago.
Right, right.
I forget what the other ones are. Chingering Chaw is one of them.
That was another minstrel show
cat.
Tune. Yeah. I'm trying to find... I'm going to play it first on this dulcimer, mostly to get the tune in my head. There's no way that these people were amazing. They wrote this thing in D. And I play in D, and there's no way I could sing this in D, but that's the one, the boatmen dance, the boatmen sing, the boatmen up to everything. And when the boatman gets on shore, he spends his cash and works for more. And dance, boatmen dance, dance, boatmen dance, dance all night till the broad daylight. And come home with the gals in the morning. This is, if you listen to the lyrics, they purport to be about African-American stevedores on the boatmen in this song, or stevedores on the old riverboats. And these songs, the black-faced minstrel songs, they get into terrible stereotypes. But, you know, they're there, they're part of our history, and they're an important part of the musical history because this is where you get African-American rhythms and kind of Anglo-Irish melodies being thrown together, evolving together into a very American type of music. Dan Emmett, who actually wrote this song, he said he got it from African Americans, but that was a convention that they, I think that was hype that they used to try to sell their shows. But there was some influence. The influence was there, just not to the extent that he said there was. I'm losing my thought here. Well, partly because these are difficult things to talk about. The racial stereotypes are there, they are vicious, but you do, out of this, you find a kind of a uniquely American music being put together out of old world materials, if that makes any sense. In this case, it's that blend of African and especially Irish, Scottish, British.
Well, we have, there's a guy who's been on our show a number of times, and as I'm saying it, I'm working to come up with his name, which is sort of embarrassing, who specializes in some of the Creole music of Illinois that has sound very much like the Creole music of Louisiana.
Oh, okay. From the French?
Yes, particularly from the French.
From St. Genevieve?
And... yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And he's been on the shows. Dennis Stromat.
Okay,
I don't know if you know him or not.
Sure.
And he's got a band called Creole Stomp and a couple of other groups. And so you've mentioned so far the British. I mean, do you have... I wonder whether the French influence might have been an example of course, that would have to come up the river, which is a little harder than going down the river, I suppose.
I don't find as much evidence of French influence as early as we're talking about, as early as the 1840s, 1850s. I think that, yeah, there are people like, Gottschalk, who was the classical pianist from New Orleans, I believe studied in France. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to say that there was none, but...
Yeah, Louis Morrell Gottschalk.
Yeah.
Whose music we'll be hearing on this show in a couple of weeks, as it happens.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful.
Two weeks from yesterday, but that we'll mention that coming up
that's
later.
That's wonderful.
I do need to mention that programming today on Live and Local is made possible with support from Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, presenting Outside at the Research Park on Friday, June 14th, that's tomorrow, featuring the music of Mondoro at 6:30 p.m. and Vieux Farka Touré at 7:30 p.m., For more information, visit krannertcenter.com. My guest is Peter Ellertson, who's going to be talking about the early music of Central Illinois Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at Rock Springs Nature Center on the grounds of Rock Springs Conservation Area, Indicator, free program. And you brought along with you, Pete, not only the dulcimer, which you played exclusively so far, but an instrument that those of us here involved with this show were very curious about when you mentioned it, the German box zither.
Right.
And this is an instrument that I hadn't seen before. I knew a little bit about zithers in general. Did you want to do something on that?
Yes,
that's pertinent to all of this?
Yeah, sure. I don't have French, but I do have a little bit of German influence. And it actually comes in the dulcimer, the Appalachian dulcimer, which is also a box zither. And a box zither is just the technical term for a stringed instrument that doesn't have a neck on it that you play like a banjo or a guitar. You know, it's all the sound box. The strings go right over the sound box, and you fret it on top of this sound box. This type of instrument, the instrument I'm going to demonstrate, it's called in German, it's called a Hummel. H-U-M-M-E-L. It's also their word for bumblebee. And it is a antecedent. It's a ancestor, or at worst, a cousin of the Appalachian dulcimer. Mm,
which we've just been hearing.
Which we've been hearing.
And to my eye, the shape of them and the way you're about to play them is rather similar, but you've got five more strings on this instrument than the one you've just been playing.
I've got five more strings. Let me hold this up, and the dulcimer is tuned. Simplicity. It's tuned to a fifth, to the interval of a fifth. Or the old timers would say they just tuned it to bim, bim, bum.
So didn't know. Two strings on the same pitch.
Two strings on the same pitch. These are A and G. Now, the Hummel. Is tuned to G and D. And then the same thing an octave lower.
What's the reason for the repetition of the strings? Mm. Where you have two strings that seem to be the same pitch.
Yeah, this is where you earn your stripes in radio. I'll try to describe it. The fretboard only goes under the first four strings. The first course of strings. That is fretted, which means I can stop the strings and play melodies. There are no frets under the lower strings. And what they do, they set up a drone. All but one of the strings are an octave below the strings that you play the melody.
And the frets, the fretted ones, yeah.
Although, this is lovely. This one little string is an octave higher. Mm. And it...
Well, let's hear a sample.
Gives a resonant drone. Yeah, that's... Now, what does this have to do with Illinois? Well, it has to do with dulcimers. And it's part of the roads, part of the roads and rivers talk. The Scots-Irish borderers, the people who, well, the Scots-Irish that moved from Pennsylvania down through the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. What? To North Carolina, Tennessee, up through Cumberland Gap, you know, into the lower Midwest, are not the only people that are moving down the Great Valley. Moving down in the same migration stream are quite a few Pennsylvania Germans.
Generally known as the Pennsylvania Dutch.
Pennsylvania Dutch.
Who aren't Dutch at all.
Well, they aren't Dutch, but their word for German is Deutsch.
Deutsch, yeah.
So, and to the Scots-Irish, they're Dutch. And to the Scots-Irish, they're playing some pretty interesting sound and music that I'll bet you we could take. It's got that drone sound. And long story short, I think the Scots-Irish figure, I could take one of them and I could play Cumberland Gap on it. Anyway, this to me is another example of this blending that I'm calling creolization, this creation of hybrid forms of music, you know, in the New World, out of the different cultural material. And some of it is German. Certainly the instrument comes from German antecedents. There's nothing in the British Isles like an Appalachian dulcimer. And it's got to come from the Pennsylvania Dutch. Their word for it, by the way, was not hummel. They called it a scheitholt, which means hunk of firewood or something like that.
I had the feeling you were going to say something different. I'm glad that it means what you said it does. What about the tradition of hymns, you know, folk hymns that show up in Illinois as well? Similar sources?
Absolutely the same sources. It's
And what's the difference between a folk hymn and a folk song, for that matter?
Folk hymn is... I'm tempted to say the lyrics. A song, I didn't bring it with me, and I may try to work this up between now and Sunday for Decatur, but there's a, you know, the old song, Rosin the Bow.
I know the name, you'd have to...
I can play it.
Show me the tune, yeah.
In the lyrics, which I do not have with me, but it's, oh, the guy is about to die, and he's talking about the arrangements for his funeral, and he wants to be laid out on a hogshead of whiskey, and he wants all his good drinking buddies to join along. It's first published as a drinking song. It's published by a rowing club in Philadelphia in, like, 1838. I'm going to have to work this up for Sunday. It's kind of cool stuff. Anyway, it's the guys in the rowing clubs, they must have loved it because, you know, you can party with it and have a great time. Okay, there's also something called Sawyer's Exit, and it's the same tune, and it's something like, how happy the day when a Christian arrives at his heavenly home. And it's the same tune. And in this case, it's probably a preacher down south taking the very popular fiddle tune, show tune, you know, and putting sacred words to it. There's another, Clinch Mountain. And Clinch Mountain is one of the old fiddle tunes. And one of the problems with playing by ear is you have to get the tune in your head. And it's got lyrics like, it's got a lot of floating lyrics. This is the one with, if the river was whiskey and I was a duck, I'd dive to the bottom and I'd never come up. Rye whiskey, you're no friend of mine, and so on. There's a song. This is actually associated with Peter Cartwright, the Methodist circuit rider from around Springfield, who planted little Methodist churches all over, well, central and southern Illinois. He would sing at revivals, according to the legend, a song called "Our Bondage Now Is Ended." Let's see. Her bondage, it will end by and by, by and by. Her bondage, it will end by and by. And from Satan's yoke set free, hail the glorious jubilee. And to Canaan we'll return by and by, by and by. And to Canaan we'll return by and by. Same tune.
Well, that simply illustrating what you said earlier. You said you're tempted to say the difference between a folk song and a folk hymn is the words, and it sounds like probably just about it.
In this case, it is the words. That's probably a hymns better way to put it
from
is
folk
they come
song.
Out of the same oral traditions.
Yeah.
And even Amazing Grace is put together out of the same melodic material, you know, as the fiddle tunes.
Hmm.
When I was playing Amazing Grace earlier, I was playing it kind of up-tempo, partly because on a dulcimer you have to play up-tempo. The structure of that tune is the same as a fiddle tune. You know, and the bits, the little, the notes, the patterns of notes that are fit together, just all of the melodic material, comes out of the same place.
Well, if you'd like to explore this a bit more and hear some more of the music of early music of Central Illinois, you're certainly invited to go to a free program Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Rock Springs Nature Center, outside of the Rock Springs, a part of the Rock Springs Conservation Area in Decatur. If you want more information, you can go to MaconCountyConservation.org, and that show starts at 2 o'clock with Peter Ellertson, who is... has been my guest this portion of Live and Local. He's a resident of Springfield and has done a lot of writing. You can actually go to his website or your blog, really.
It's a blog, Hogfiddle.
Hogfiddle, another name for
the dulcimer.
The dulcimer.
I could teach a hog how to play,
that thing. Well, Pete, thanks very much for joining us on the show, and it's been a pleasure to meet you and to hear about some of this.
Well, thanks for having me.
Here are a few... other events you can see and hear live in our listening area over the next couple of days. The third annual Engelbach Heart Music Festival at Illinois College begins tonight with the college music faculty recital at Ramelkamp Chapel. That's in Jacksonville tonight at 7:30. And that's by way of mentioning also that on tomorrow's Live and Local, I'll be talking with Carol Beth True, who is a jazz musician from St. Louis. She's going to be presenting the second. Her trio is presenting the second concert on Friday night. Also on tomorrow's Live and Local, I'll be talking with blues guitarist and singer Duke Robillard, who's going to be at the Cowboy Monkey in Champaign on Saturday night at 9:30. But also tonight, Gloria Rubel's Writers in the Round show is at Mike and Molly's in Champaign. That is at 7 o'clock. And Candy Foster, skipping ahead, Midas the Crow is at Canopy Club in Urbana tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. And it's Urinetown the Musical, the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company's student production at Parkland Theater. That opens tonight, continues through this Sunday, and then next weekend as well. I'm Kevin Kelly for Live and Local. Hope you'll join us again tomorrow, 4 o'clock. You're listening to 90.9 WYNL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. We're a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. It's 5 o'clock.